On today's Travel with Rick Steves, we'll get ideas for sightseeing in San Francisco at many of the places its residents like to show off for visitors. A local guidebook author gets us started on 100 things to do in San Francisco a little later in the hour ahead. Until the Second World War, it seemed no army had really thought of protecting the monuments and art treasures of a country when it's at war. But the Allied Forces' Monuments Men dedicated their efforts, and sometimes their lives, to protecting the patrimony of the Western world. Robert Edsel is the founder of the Monuments Men Foundation. He's back with us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us what's new with the efforts to repatriate lost or looted treasures from World War II. Robert's just released a new book. It's The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History, and it's aimed at sharing his story of the Monuments Men to students and younger readers. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Rick.
Your story, The Monuments Men, has been such an inspiration, and this new book, The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History, kind of complements earlier books that you've written. How is this one different?
This is the first opportunity I've had to tell the entire story in one book. And when I say entire story, not just what the Monuments Men did in Northern Europe and Italy, which it took two separate books to do that before, but also to include almost 150 images of not just photographs of what they were doing during the war, but also some of the key documents that they had at the time that I thought young readers in particular would enjoy seeing, the names of people that had volunteered in a fire brigade to try and save a church, or the notes that Jim Rorimer, one of the key Monuments Men, hurriedly wrote down descriptions of Rose Vallon, the great French heroine with whom he worked on trying to find the location of so many thousands of works stolen from France.
I was enamored with the first book, The Monuments Men, but I actually found this book easier to read. Maybe that's just a comment on my intellect because it's designed more for younger readers, but I just thought this was engrossing. It read like a story, and it helped me imagine the immediate challenge and the potential disaster of having all of the great art treasures of our Western civilization at risk as Europe was in this horrible World War II. You've got an image of Uffizi masterpieces, paintings by Raphael, Rubens, Giotto, Botticelli's Primavera, all stacked sloppily in a castle outside of Florence. And then you mentioned how it was a simple custodian that was in charge of taking care of that art, the art that defined Florence and the Renaissance. Tell us about that scene.
It's really hard to imagine. We think about the fragility of works of art and museum docents, well-intended, telling you don't point, don't use flash photography, don't stand so close. And then you see photographs like the one you mentioned, where the most important works of art by Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Raphael, Botticelli, all the household names that
yes.
people around the world know, loaded onto trucks with no wrapping, no protective measures taken, sometimes a tarp, but there were times that these works of art were moved and it was drizzling, and then offloaded at villas to try and get them out of the cities where they feared fire might damage them, just sitting on their side of the frame, leaning up against the wall.
So this wasn't Nazis trying to steal art or anything like that. This was local people who appreciated art realizing the city will be bombed next week and there might be a fire and we might lose everything, so we've got to just desperately get the treasures out of harm's way. Is that right?
That was the initial concern on the part of museum curators and directors, but they didn't take into account the speed with which the ground warfare could move. Mm-hmm. And dramatically in Italy, the ground warfare advanced up the peninsula so quickly that these works of art were trapped in these villas and it was too late to try and move them back into the city. Some of them were in villas behind enemy lines, and the Nazis saw the opportunity and stole more than 1,000 of the most important Italian works of art in the world and put them on trucks headed north towards Nazi Germany.
Because Hitler was a madman, but he was a madman who had an interest in art also, wasn't he?
He had a mission. He was a failed artist and architect who believed he had been unfairly judged. He believed that the jurors who refused to allow him admittance into the Vienna Academy of Fine Arts were Jews. He accused him of that, and he had this prejudice and bias.
You show a painting by Hitler in 1914.
They're workmanlike. I mean,
yeah,
they're the kinds of things you might see around the Notre Dame, you know, with people selling them, but they certainly didn't appear to be interesting against the backdrop of the great German expressionist painters of the time.
So, but you have Hitler's joy he took in plundering art. What was Hitler's vision for all the art? I think he was hell-bent on winning this war. When it was all done and he controlled Europe, what was he going to do with the art?
Well, Vienna's influence in Europe, which we know how significant that is today and what an art center it is, would have been greatly diminished because those were the people that rejected him. Mm-hmm. The hometown that he came from, Linz, was a town that was going to be built up and be one of the cultural capitals of Europe. And at the center of the city was going to be this great museum known as the Gemäldegalerie Linz, or Führer Museum, as people referred to it. But of course, that presented a problem in 1938 after his first state visit to Italy and him walking through the Uffizi Gallery and the Pitti Palace across the Vasari Quarter. When this idea really fully emerged, he saw the great collections of the Medicis and realized, as he felt, an artist among artists, we should have this in Linz. But of course, so many of the works were already in private collections, and that was a problem which the war was going to solve for him.
I've been to Linz. Talk about a forgettable little town. And that was going to be the home of, that's on the Danube up by Passau, you know, upstream
that's
from
right.
Vienna, right. I know Hitler didn't like modern art. He thought it was degenerate art and so on, modern art in the early 20th century. What kind of art did Hitler like?
He liked 19th century Austrian and German painters, people that weren't necessarily unqualified or unskilled, mm-hmm. but you'd find them predominantly in German museums. They mm-hmm. were...
The German Romantics?
Exactly. And they're not well represented in museums in the United States. But,
right.
you know, this was the passion that he had, was to try and project this image to Germans about them being this uber race. And he felt these painters, like himself, had mm-hmm. been unfairly maligned by art critics and that he could see things nobody else could see and likewise considered the great Impressionist painters like Van Gogh, Monet, Degas, that there was something wrong with them, that they couldn't paint nature as it existed. And so those works of art were removed from German museums, many destroyed because he felt they were going to spoil the minds of the Germans.
Imagine how poor our world would be if such treasures as the Mona Lisa or Michelangelo's David had been destroyed during World War II. Robert Edsel is with us on Travel with Rick Steves to remind us of the important work that civilian and military men and women played in protecting Europe's patrimony. They also found art treasures that were stolen by Nazi forces. Robert founded the Monuments Men Foundation, which continues to recover items that were taken as war souvenirs. His website is robertedsel.com. Robert, the mission of the Monuments Men has been called the greatest treasure hunt in history. That's the name of your book. Who were they and what did they do?
These are museum curators, architects. Some were artists themselves, many professors, school teachers, librarians who volunteered for service during World War II to protect the great cultural treasures of Western civilization from destruction, both by Allied bombing and artillery. And then as they got on the ground and they discovered that so many of these works of art, and we're talking about millions of cultural treasures, were not where they should be because they'd been looted by the Nazis, and it set off what truly was the greatest treasure hunt in history, their effort to try and find these things. And that's what I've tried to do, is capture the excitement and the terror of their experience, just a handful of men and one key woman, as they went into these salt mines and caves and castles, not knowing whether they were going to be booby-trapped, whether they were going to be killed. Of course, two Monuments Men were killed during combat. And so I've tried to write this book as if the reader is sitting there by their side, knowing no more than they know as they piece these clues together to try and track down this priceless work of art.
So when we think of World War II closing down and all the Allies are converging on Berlin, the Russians coming in from the east, coming up through Italy when the Americans crossed over from Africa, and then, of course, D-Day and making that trail from Normandy all the way to Berlin, we can see the Germans contracting and retreating and pulling back with them all of their treasures and so on. What was the process during this period with the Monument Men? Were they sweeping up behind this violent parade and grabbing what they could and saving it? Or were they on the front line protecting things as the battle was going? I'd like to kind of envision, what were they doing when everybody else was fighting their way to Berlin?
The concept initially was that they would be advising and they wouldn't be on the front line, but it was impossible for them to do their jobs to try and keep Allied engineers from tearing down a church that was damaged but could be repaired from anywhere other than on the front line. So they got closer and closer and finally were there with the troops as they would go into these towns and cities, and they would set markers indicating that these buildings were out of bounds, which initially there was a great deal of concern that there'd be a riot among some of the soldiers about the idea of being forced to sleep outside. But much to their great satisfaction, when they explained why it was important to show respect for these other countries' cultural treasures and not run the risk of starting a fire in a wood living room that might burn down an important chateau or villa, a historic chateau or villa, they had support from the troops. As they pushed further and further in through the Western Allied countries that were liberated, they could see works of art like Michelangelo's Bruges Madonna and, of course, the Ghent altarpiece in Ghent, Belgium, were gone. They were missing. And it set off this treasure hunt. And when they arrived in Germany, they started discovering in caves and castles and salt mines, monasteries, works of art by the thousands, many belonging to German museums that had been hidden to try and keep them safe from Allied bombing. Mm. And then as they got further and further into Germany, the Motherlode discoveries, works of art that had been stolen for Hitler's museum.
Wow. I can just imagine if you're an art lover and you volunteered to be on this Corps of Monuments Men and you're following the Allies as they push back to Berlin, and you come into Bruges and you know there's a Michelangelo statue in the church, and the first thing you want to do is go to that church and see if the Michelangelo statue is okay or even if it's there, and then you find it and it's gone. That must have been...
And the astonishing thing about that situation was the Nazis had stolen it just 10 days before the Allies entered the city. I mean, you know, you think about thievery and people realize get in, get out quickly.
Yeah.
But during World War II, the Nazis had 7 years to loot these countries, and they did it right down to the last minute.
Robert Edsel tells a new generation the stories of the brave men and women who rescued the art treasures of Europe from Nazi plunder. His latest book is The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History. Robert's earlier titles include Saving Italy, Rescuing Da Vinci, and The Monuments Men, which was adapted into a movie by George Clooney. You can listen to Robert's prior appearances on Travel with Rick Steves. We have links to our archives with the notes for this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Coming up, we remember the last of the Monuments Men, and we consider just what to do with World War II souvenirs that you might find stashed away up in the attic. There's more with Robert Edsel in just a minute on today's Travel with Rick Steves.